This is Irving R. Levine, NBC News, Rome, with Emphasis the World. A report on Italian drugstores. I'll be back with that observation on People in the Times in a moment.
Are you for a filter and rich flavor too?
The logical move. The logical move is L&M.
Are you for a filter? L&M has a modern, all-white filter. Pure white, both inside and outside. And through it, you get the good taste of L&M's rich flavor leaf. The good taste of soft-natured, longer-aged tobaccos. So remember, if you're for a filter and rich flavor too...
The logical move. The logical move is L&M. The rich flavor cigarette with a modern all-white filter. The logical move. The logical move is L&M. The logical move is L&M.
This is Irving R. Levine, NBC News, Rome, with Emphasis the World. About the most time-consuming thing a person can do in Rome is to go to a drugstore to buy a box of pills. Transactions of any sort in Italy are often conducted at a leisurely pace. It's something to do with the Mediterranean climate or the Latin disposition or local inefficiency. The drugstore is more leisurely than most. In the first place, the pharmacy is a first echelon doctor's office. If the Italian feels ill, he usually goes first to his pharmacist, who, garbed in a white coat and a superior expression, will listen to the symptoms and then prescribe aspirin. That is, if he does not prescribe something for the liver. There is a national preoccupation in Italy with the liver, and most ailments are initially attributed to that organ. Some pharmacies in Italy have small examination rooms, and the pharmacist may transfer his customer there for a more thorough diagnosis. The Italian pharmacy is strictly that. It has none of the frills of soda fountain or quick lunch bar or hot dog grill or toy counter or greeting card rack. Medicine is sold, and that's all. There's almost always a scale on which the customer may weigh himself, usually after depositing a coin. There is usually a water spigot, so the pill just purchased may be taken immediately. Besides the pharmacist's activities in diagnosing customers' ailments, there is another thing which makes a trip to the drugstore time-consuming. Under the National Health Plan, medicines are in some cases provided free. This involves paperwork. The beneficiary of the state aid presents a slip of paper, and the pharmacist must carefully pry off the box of pills a perforated square bearing the price. This he attaches to the slip authorizing the transaction. The two pieces of paper will now travel to countless government offices, where countless Italian civil service employees will spend countless hours recording the episode. Important though the pharmacy obviously is in Italian life, it too closes for the daily 3-hour mid-afternoon siesta, as do all stores, offices, and most churches. However, there is always a drugstore or two in town which remains open. This is true, too, during the night. There's no need to drive around hunting for an open pharmacy. Just dial 110, and a telephone operator will inform you the drugstore nearest to you which is open during that particular siesta or that particular night. It may seem like an unusual service for the telephone company to offer, but in Italy, the pharmacist is second in importance only to the local priest. This is Irving R. Levine, NBC News, Rome.
Doctor, I've got quadruple vision. At the store, I see four kinds of Campbell's beans.
Campbell's pork and beans and ground beef, barbecue beans, and beans and franks.
Do I need glasses, Doctor?
No, Campbell does offer four kinds of beans.
But why?
I thought you'd never ask.
It's more variety, pork and beans and the other three. Each is different, you'll agree, from the Campbell Beanery. Pork and beans.
For folks who are choosy about their beans, now four kinds from Campbell's.
This is Bill Ryan, NBC News, New York, Emphasis, the family of man, reminding you that NBC Radio, Emphasis, is heard 8 times daily, Monday through Friday, on most of these same stations.
To other members of various committees, now, ladies and gentlemen, the president is about to be seated. The president of the United States.
Thank you. Mr. President, we will open on the seal first for 30 seconds.
President, understand I will start speaking in exactly 15 seconds. He's reading from prepared notes. This will be a statement on the resolution and its approval. Now, the President of the United States.
My fellow Americans, 1 week ago, half a world away, our nation was faced by the challenge of deliberate and unprovoked acts of aggression in Southeast Asia. The cause of peace clearly required that we respond with a prompt and unmistakable reply. As Commander-in-Chief, the responsibility was mine, and mine alone. I gave the orders for that reply, and it has been given. But as President, there rested upon me still another responsibility, the responsibility of submitting our course to the representatives of the people, for them to verify it or veto it. I directed that to be done last Tuesday. Within 24 hours, the resolution before me now had been placed before each House of Congress. In each House, the resolution was promptly examined in committee and reported for action. In each House, there followed free and serious debate. In each House, the resolution was passed on Friday last, with a total of 502 votes in support and 2 opposed. Thus, today, our course is clearly known in every land. There can be no mistake, no miscalculation of where America stands or what this generation of Americans stands for. The unanimity of the Congress reflects the unanimity of the country. The resolution is short. It is straightforward. I hope that it will be read around the world. The position of the United States is stated plainly. To any armed attack upon our forces, we shall reply. To any in Southeast Asia who ask our help in defending their freedom, we shall give it. In that region, there is nothing that we covet, nothing we seek, no territory, no military position, no political ambition. Our one desire, our one determination, is that the people of Southeast Asia be left in peace to work out their own destinies in their own way. This resolution stands squarely within the four corners of the Constitution of the United States. It is clearly consistent with the principles and the purposes of the Charter of the United Nations. This is another in the outstanding record of accomplishments that the 88th Congress is writing. Americans of all parties and philosophies can be justly proud and justly grateful. Proud that democracy has once again demonstrated its capacity to act swiftly and decisively against aggressors. Grateful that there is in our national government understanding, accord, and unity between the executive and the legislative branches without any regard to partisanship. This is a great strength that we must always preserve. This resolution confirms and reinforces powers of the presidency. And I pledge to all Americans to use those powers with all the wisdom and the judgment that God grants to me. It is everlastingly right that we should be resolute in reply to aggression and steadfast in support of our friends. But it is everlastingly necessary that our actions should be careful and should be measured. We are the most powerful of all nations. We must strive also to be the most responsible of nations. So in this spirit and with this pledge, I now sign this resolution.
The president is now using the first of the 50 pens he has. He gives the first one to House Speaker John McCormick, picks up the second, dips it in the inkwell, turns around and gives it to Senator William Fulbright, the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee. Leaders of both parties, to the right and left of the president, Carl Albert of Oklahoma, receives the third pen. Each one of these are small jabs, order that the president can use the entire 50, where he affixes the signature, the date, and Washington, D.C. Senator Hubert Humphrey, Charles Halleck, and now Senator Everett Dirksen receive their pens used in this signature ceremony, the signing ceremony in the East Room of the White House. In the audience are perhaps 100 persons directly involved with last week's events, including the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Secretary of Defense McNamara, Secretary of State Dean Rusk, Undersecretary of State Averill Harriman, and earlier we talked to the Director of the Voice of America, Henry Loomis, who was over VOA facilities at Hanoi and Peking, first received announcements of the U.S. intentions to bomb Communist North Vietnam. The president continues to sign the joint resolution. Congressman Zablotsky of Wisconsin receives his pen. The president has used perhaps a dozen pens thus far. Senator Burke Hickenlooper of Iowa receives his. Senator Smathers has offered a second one. He says he already has one.
Everett, what you got up for today? Foreign aid?
Yes, sir. President is talking to House Speaker John McCormick, asking him about what is left.
What do you all got in the House? Bob, Secretary?
Well, the President gives pens to Secretary of State Dean Rusk and Defense Secretary Robert McNamara. Here's 20 pens thus far, we're told. Averill Harriman, the Undersecretary of State, receives his. There's 21.
Bob, tell the Joint Chiefs come on over.
Now, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, led by the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Earl Wheeler of the Army, the Air Force Chief of Staff, Curtis LeMay, Admiral McDonald, the Chief of Naval Operations, Commandant of the Marine Corps, also moved toward the table in which the President is signing the joint resolution to receive their souvenir copies of pens being used during this signing ceremony.
General, you know Congressman Halleck, General Johnson, Chief Staff Army. Sorry.
The President has just about used all the pens now.
No relation.
This would conclude our live presentation from the East Room of the White House. Signing ceremony, President Johnson affixing his signature to the joint resolution by Congress on Southeast Asia, reaffirming U.S. intentions to defend Southeast Asia and approving the President's act of last week in sending carrier-based planes to attack North Vietnam patrol torpedo boat bases and the PT boats themselves. Ceremony has come to you live from the White House. This is Robert Goralski, NBC News, reporting from the White House.
This is the NBC Radio Network.